Thanks for listening to this Red Sox broadcast. For more Sox coverage and analysis across all of baseball, check out the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast with me, Rob Bradford. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Red Sox Review, and it starts right now. Here's your host, Joe Weil.
A tough end to the weekend and a frustrating loss for the Sox to close out their four-game set against the Baltimore Orioles. Joe Weil with you here on Red Sox Review. Appreciate you joining us. We're going to take you all the way up to 6 p.m. with Red Sox Talk. Hard to believe we are only 39 games away from the end of the regular season. And with that, every game feels more and more important. And in this series against the Orioles, a lot to like. They took the middle two games. They bounced back after losing on Thursday. But this one today was tough because they banged out 11 hits against the Orioles. And when this team has banged out 10 hits or more in a game, they came into this one 43-10. 43-10. But they couldn't hit with runners in scoring position. 1-for-14 in this one with runners in scoring position. And because every game is so important, because they're outside the playoff picture, this one hurts even more. And they lose 4-2 against the Baltimore Orioles. Joe Weil with you here on Red Sox Review. Got intern Tom behind the glass. 617-779-7937. The number to call in here for Red Sox Review. Again, 617-779-7937 is the number to call in. We're going to hear from Alex Cora in one moment. We will get to your calls. You can also text us at 37937 as well. But for a Red Sox team that's trying to climb back into the picture, like actually be in the playoffs if it were to end today, they now might end the day 3.5 games back with 39 games to go. And we have a lot of time to talk about it today. It's not the end of the world because of the Royals schedule coming up, because of the Red Sox schedule after they get through this tough stretch of games where they have three coming up against the Astros starting tomorrow, and then they're going to take on the Arizona Diamondbacks at home, a team that just went ahead against the Rays, could salvage that series finale, and before losing the first two games of that series had been playing exceptional baseball. Like, we talk about how good the Red Sox are offensively, especially since the All-Star break. So have the Diamondbacks. They've been equally as good. But again, they're in danger now of being 3.5 out with 39 to go if the Royals win today. So you're fighting to stay in it. And to this team's credit, more times than not, just when you think they're out, they pull you back in. Just when I was out, they'll pull you back in. And maybe they'll do that again in this series against the Astros. Because you look at this series against Baltimore and how much the Sox struggled against this team specifically. They'd only won one game in the first two series against them before this series. You take 2 out of 4. I mean, that's pretty good. You'll take that. But it's more frustrating, and you're in this position because of the way you started out the season where, you know, You're losing time to ultimately get yourself in the right spot at season's end. And that's where the Sox team stands. They've overcome a lot. They've shown fight. That is a staple of this Red Sox team. They will show so much fight. They will, just when you're out on them, they will win some games and get back into it. I talked about it with Rob Bradford earlier in the week on a post-game show. You know, they ended up, you know, you just when you think that this team is kind of trending in the wrong direction, and you say, okay, maybe this year isn't it. We shouldn't even be thinking about, you know, the playoffs. We don't have to think about the playoffs anymore. They end up winning a couple games. They swept that series against the Rangers. And again, they lose Thursday. Okay, all right, maybe you think the sky's falling again. They win the next two. But this one hurts because they had chances. They had so many chances. And we'll get into it more on Red Sox Review as we roll along about those chances specifically. But again, we want to hear from you. 617-779-7937, the number to call in. Again, 617-779-7937. You can also text us at 37937 as well. We'll pause for a break. When we come back, we will hear from Alex Cora. We will get to your thoughts right after this. O's win it over the Sox 4-2. Back with more Red Sox review right after this on WEI. All right, rolling along here on Red Sox Review. Joe Weil with you. Tom Crisafulli behind the glass alongside Nico Manganiello. We're going to take you up to 6 p.m. here on Red Sox Review. And if you missed it, Baltimore beats Boston 4-2 in the finale of a four-game set at Camden Yards. You'd feel more furious about this loss, I think, if the Sox lost this series, if they didn't win Friday, if those 10 runs they gave up really came back to hurt them and they didn't win that game 12-10, or last night when they win 5-1, where you had Brian Bello taking a no-hit bid into the sixth inning. So that makes the sting of today a little bit better. But what does hurt about today is the opportunities the Red Sox had to take the lead before the Orioles did. And I'll run through them before we get to Cora here in one moment. First golden chance they had was in the fourth inning, where they had first and second with nobody out. You had Casas single, Devers single, setting it up for Tyler O'Neill, and then after that, Yoshida and Wong. And Tyler O'Neill strikes out, which, as good as he's been, I have said all season long on these airwaves how much of a masterstroke that was from Craig Breslow to deal away Victor Santos and Nick Robertson to get a middle-of-the-lineup bat in Tyler O'Neill. But his one bugaboo is his struggles with runners in scoring position, and he struck out after back-to-back singles in the fourth. And then Masataki Yoshida, who has been red hot. He had two more hits today, and he also walked. So this was the lone time he was retired. He flew out to right. Connor Wong grounds out to end the inning. Inning before that, they also had a runner in scoring position, didn't bring him in. In the fifth inning, Hamilton reaches on a single and an E1. So he's at second with one out. Duran pops out. Abreu strikes out. That ends the threat. And then after that, Baltimore takes the lead on the solo shot by Adley Rutschman. And you look at it, you total it all out. Sox go 1-for-14 with runners in scoring position. They leave 11 men on base in this game. So once again, they hit that 10-hit threshold, which they've now done 54 times this year, which is remarkable. But they don't capitalize on those opportunities. And I thought Tyler Murray put it best right before he and Will Fleming ducked out. It's like one of those hockey games where one team significantly outshoots the other, yet the team with way fewer shots, ends up winning. And that was kind of the case today. Two home runs end up doing in the Red Sox. And if you're going to look at the pitching side of things today, that's where they continuously have gotten hurt. Bailey Horn has not been good for this team. And hey, the White Sox designated him for assignment. So maybe that checks out. The worst team in Major League Baseball didn't want him. Maybe the Red Sox shouldn't either. But this is a club overall. Home runs per nine, they're in the bottom third of Major League Baseball. And it continues to trend in the wrong direction. Cutter Crawford gives up his 28th home run as well. He otherwise was pretty good. Again, second straight outing in which the final line doesn't quite truly do it justice. But in the end, he gets the loss, 8-10 now in the season. Let's now hear from Alex Cora. But before we do that, 617-779-7937, the number to call in. We'll get to the calls. We'll get to the text. You can also text us at 37937 as well. Now let's hear from Alex Cora and hear what he had to say after this loss.
He made some pitches. At one point in the game, he lost his fastball. I think it was first and second. Yeah, Casas single, Rafi single. He went up to T.O., got into 3-2 and threw him a cutter. And then with Massa, he got into 3-1, used the changeup, got out of the inning with a cutter to Wong. And then after that, his fastball started playing again. You know, he's one of these guys that, you know, he's going to attack the zone, up in the zone. And I think, you know, we did a good job, you know, taking our singles, whatever. But when it matters, we weren't able to catch in.
What have you seen just Crawford not being able to kind of?
Yeah, well, two Urias on the walk and then the hit by pitch. We gave him O'Hearn in that spot, knowing that probably they were going to pinch hit. So we got the ground ball. We didn't turn it. And then, you know, Horn, he left a curveball, you know, up in the zone, and he did what he usually does, you know. So tough one, but I think, you know, we play well during the series. We play well today. We just got to move on and be ready for tomorrow.
Is that one that Zidane just kind of rushed a little, lost his grip? What did you think of the...
I haven't looked. You know, just, you know, the pitcher running, it's a tough one, so yeah. I'll take a look at it.
It seems each of the last two for Cutter, like, he'll cruise through five almost, and then, like, the sixth comes and sort of, obviously, third time through and all that, but...
Yeah, I mean, the red flag was a walk, you know, and then the command was off, I felt. So, you know, you got to trust the roster, right? And, you know, Horn, he made some good pitches early on, 2-1 cutter, foul ball, and then curveball that stayed there, you know, and hit out of the ballpark. But we had our chances later on, and we weren't able to catch in.
How would you assess the 4 days here?
Good. We're good. We just got to be ready for tomorrow. We play well. Obviously, like I said, the first day was huge for us to be able to use the bullpen the way we wanted to. We sounded by well. We put pressure on them the whole weekend. So I think offensively, we're one of the best teams in the big leagues.
Just Connor, he's been one of you guys all year. Just get Gasper for him. Is that just a product of Connor kind of slumping lately?
The kid is on the roster and he can hit. So, yeah. You know, we felt that was a good matchup for us and it just didn't work out.
This last few days feel like, I don't know, not maybe on a playoff atmosphere, but like you guys are in kind of pressure situations. I know you're managing that way, but like big games?
Every game is a big one for us. I've been saying that since Seattle. You know, I felt that way at home, and, you know, every pitch matters, every pitch counts, and, you know, we're going to keep doing that. You know, we have a good team. We're in the hunt, so, you know, nothing changes. We split here. It doesn't matter what happens around us. You know, you got to take care of yourself. And we go to Houston, and we played well there. You know, we do. So just go there tomorrow. We get Kikuchi, put some good at-bats, Tanner's on the mound, get a W, and try to win the series. We're good.
All right, so that's Alex Cora talking after the Sox 4-2 loss against the Baltimore Orioles today. So Boston ends up splitting the four-game set in Baltimore, and now this team is 65-58, and it looks like they're going to be 3.5 games back because Kansas City has an 8-1 lead over Cincinnati, bottom of the ninth inning. And when I say 3.5 games back, I mean 3.5 games out of that third wild card spot. Still 39 games left to go. That's one thing. And in our next segment here on Red Sox Review, I'll talk about why I still have optimism about the Sox in this race with the schedule and the way it's shaking out. But we want to hear from you. 617-779-7937. Is your optimism waning because the Sox ultimately squandered too many chances today, going 1-for-14 with runners in scoring position? And are you looking at the rest of the schedule, the lack of games left, and starting to get truly concerned that this year will end like the previous two seasons did, and with this team out of the playoff picture? Let's go to the phones for the first time. We go to David in Florida. What's going on, David? David, you there? David, you there? David, is that you getting to the phone?
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
All right. We're getting scared there for a second, David.
Oh, I'm here. Sorry about that. Thank you. I was just getting ready to get an ice cream. I need to take my mind off these Red Sox.
What kind of ice cream, David? What kind of ice cream are we getting?
Oh, there's only one kind. Oreo cookie.
Okay. All right.
There's only one kind.
All right.
Not as good as Brigham's, but at any rate, you know, I am just getting fed up with Cora's pinch hitting antics. Sometimes it seems like he'd pinch hit for Ted Williams if there was a lefty on the mound. I mean, how do you put in a rookie who's only had 2 at bats in the eighth inning of a game with bases loaded and down by 2 runs when you have Connor Wong, who's been very hot lately?
No, he hasn't. See, that's wait, David, hold on 1 second. I just want to cut you off because I understand the question, and they asked the question in the post game scrum there about that, because you're right. It's at face value, you look at Connor Wong, who is some would argue an all-star snub, and he gets pinch hit for it. But let me just say this. You just said he's red hot. I would argue that's not the case, because he, before that at bat, he was 0-for-3 with a strikeout, and over his last 9 games, he had just been 7-for-33. So at that point, you total it out, He was seventh for his last 36. So and you have Mickey Gasper, who's actually had a couple of good plate appearances both times before he had reached by walk. But go ahead.
He's had two at-bats, right? That's what they said on TV. He had two major league at-bats. The kids are
plate appearances.
I mean, it's just over. Yes, plate appearances. It's just over-managing by Cora. He over-manages the game when he two games ago when he started Bernardino, then pulls him back and pulls him out after three at-bats. He tries to be so cute.
Yeah, but that one, David, there's logic behind that one, too. Like,
Just because he does that and believes in it doesn't make it right. You know, I could believe, like Kyrie Irving, that the world is flat. Doesn't mean I'm right. I could believe that 2 and 2 is 5. Doesn't mean I'm right. It's his opinion, and he's entitled to that, but it doesn't mean he's right. And he overmanages, and I'm sick of it. And I got one more thing for you, too, about Bernardino. You know, way back in the 90s and early 2000s, we had way back Wasden and Upper Deck Beck. Now we've got Bad News Bernardino.
He was fine today. Why are you picking on? Why are you picking on Bernie?
Bad news, Bernardino.
He was fine today.
Well, maybe that was a mistake. He'll come back and give up the lead tomorrow. Have a good one.
All right, David. Enjoy that. What was that? Oreo? What did you say? Oreo cookie? That's what he's getting. I forgot now. But I'm glad David brought that first part up about Mickey Gasper. And by the way, if you want to get his line, 617-779-7937, the number to call in. Again, 617-779-7937, Baltimore, a 4-2 winner over the Sox today. He brings up Mickey Gasper pinch hitting for Connor Wong. And again, as I just said to David there, you look at it, face value, it doesn't quite make... You'd be questioning it just like the reporters were after the game. I think it's a fair question to bring up to Alex Cora why he ended up going with that move. But Connor Wong, he missed a couple of opportunities to do something in this game. You go back to the second inning, grounded out in his first at-bat. Fourth inning, 2 on, 2 out. He grounded out to short. Sixth inning, 2 on, 2 out. He struck out swinging. So you have a guy in Mickey Gasper who has put together a couple of really strong plate appearances. You get him a twist to the left-handed side as well to go up against Cano. And you figure, okay, maybe he can come through in this spot. And he just didn't. And sometimes that stuff doesn't work out. As for what he was saying before about Bernardino get it being the opener a couple days ago, that made all the sense in the world to me, because what you're doing with that is you're throwing a left-hander out against a left-handed heavy lineup, where at the first turnaround you're having them face off against a left-handed pitcher. I mean, that's just pretty simple. I don't know, at least I thought so. But to me, and this is what I love David from Florida, but sometimes I feel like when he calls, the conversation shifts away from what it should be about. And that's where I pick on him when he calls and has his prompts. Again, I hope he enjoys his ice cream. But to me, the biggest issue is the runners in scoring position today. Sometimes these guys just don't come through. And I think maybe if you talk about the 162 and sometimes the way Cora goes about the way he utilizes his bullpen and how quick he gives pitchers the hook, I can understand that. Earlier in the season compared to now because of where the innings are, and I think that's why he does that, because he sees it, you know, kind of long-term, and he thinks about, okay, where are these guys going to be by the end of the year? But there's logic behind the moves, unlike some other managers in Major League Baseball. Pedro Grifol, well, he doesn't have a job anymore, so maybe I'm picking on somebody that I don't need to pick on. But that was a guy that you had no idea what he was doing. To me, this team has been managed to the point where they're 7 games above .500. And managing was not the issue today. Spinning the ball, Bailey Horn hanging a breaking ball that ended up getting popped out for a 2-run home run by Gunnar Henderson, bad pitch. Runners in scoring position, massive issue today. And because of it, the Sox now sit 3.5 games out of that third wild card spot. Just checking this one more time before we go to Tom with what's trending. Kansas City did win today, 8-1. So now the Sox are 3.5 back with 39 games to go for that third wild card spot. We're going to talk about the schedules for both of those teams coming up. We will continue to get your calls in, 617-779-7937. You can also text us at 37937 as well. The texts are rolling in. We'll touch on those as well. But let's go to Tom Crisafulli who has what's trending here on WEI.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
2-2 to Devers. Two down in the ninth. Here's the pitch. Raffy swings and misses. He strikes out, and the ball game is over. The Orioles win it. They split this four-game series.
Love a little old school Eminem. Let it build. Eminem show, Eminem. It's like 20 years ago. Tom, were you born? Were you born yet? I think 2003.
03, baby, so I don't think so.
Let me make sure I have that right. Eminem show. No, 2002. I was off by a year. So this song predates Tom Crisafulli. Great job in the trending. Joe Weil with you here for Red Sox Review. Sox fall 4-2 against the Baltimore Orioles. By the way, happy birthday, Pablo Sanchez. For people of my ilk, I'm 31 years old. If you don't know Pablo Sanchez, backyard baseball legend. Happy birthday, Pablo. All right, back to the Red Sox. They fall 4-2 against the O's. And now this team with the Royals winning 3.5 games up on the Sox. With 39 to go. We're going to get into the schedule talk as we continue to wind down here in 2024. I mean, we still have a month and a half left, so still plenty of time for the Sox to make up some ground. If Fangraph's playoff odds mean anything to you, and honestly, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, at least for me. They came into the day, this being the Sox, hovering kind of close to 40%. In terms of the Fangraphs playoff odds, they were at 39.9. With the Royals winning today, the Sox losing, they're down to 34.2. Again, whatever that means to you, but according to the calculations, the Sox have a 1-in-3 chance of making the playoffs, roughly. A little bit above that. But today hurt, offensively especially, going 1-for-14 with runners in scoring position. That really ended up killing the Sox. Joe Weil with you, Tom Crisafulli behind the glass. We still want to hear from you. 617-779-7937, the number to call in. You can also text us at 37937 as well. We have both calls. We have texts as well. But let's go back to the phones, and we'll start off with Mike in Connecticut. What's going on, Mike?
What's going on, Joe? You know, the glaring problem is he doesn't have a left-hander he can count on out of the bullpen. Bernardino was pretty good today, but, you know, he hasn't been good lately. But, you know, Joe, this is what I want to get your opinion on. And the bottom line is, with six teams in the playoffs and all the money that the Red Sox have, there is no way that Cleveland, Kansas City, and Minnesota should be in the playoffs over the Red Sox. They just, there's no reason for the show. And hopefully next year that things will change when they bring these prospects up. And hopefully they'll spend a little money.
Yeah, Mike, I agree with you on all accounts. There's no reason this team shouldn't make the playoffs, especially, you know, with those other teams. And if you want to grab Mike's line, 617-779-7937, the number to call in. Appreciate Mike, as always, for chiming in. Mike's good at the Sunday chime in. Sometimes during the week, but always the Sunday chime in. But anyway, I agree with him. There's no reason this team shouldn't make the playoffs and be behind teams like the Guardians, Twins, and Royals. And especially a team like the Royals that was so bad last year, and it's a completely different team this year. But I think with more intent, they went for it this year compared to the Sox. And I think that's what will hurt in the end if the Sox don't make the playoffs. Now, I think what Mike said is also true. They're going to be a better team next year. You have these incredible prospects in AAA. And if you've heard me at all on these shows, you know how high I am about the future of the Red Sox. This team has a very promising future coming up. But I think if they miss the playoffs this year, the one thing that'll hurt the most is still that lack of action in the offseason coming into the year. And I've talked about it a lot. Starting pitching-wise, that's the part that hurts the most. Offensively, this team is better than I expected. I thought there was a chance they would be a top 10 offense in baseball. They've been that. They have delivered on that. And it's incredible when you think about no Trevor Story pretty much since the road, not pretty much, since the beginning of the season road trip.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
2-2 to Devers. Two down in the ninth. Here's the pitch. Raffy swings and misses. He strikes out, and the ball game is over. The Orioles win it. They split this four-game series.
Love a little old-school Eminem. Let it build. Eminem show, Eminem. It's like 20 years ago. Tom, were you born? Were you born yet? I think 2003.
03, baby, so I don't think so.
Let me make sure I have that right. Eminem show. No, 2002. I was off by a year. So this song predates Tom Crisafulli. Great job in the trending. Joe Weil with you here for Red Sox Review. Sox fall 4-2 against the Baltimore Orioles. By the way, happy birthday, Pablo Sanchez. For people of my ilk, I'm 31 years old. You don't know Pablo Sanchez. Backyard baseball legend. Happy birthday, Pablo. All right, back to the Red Sox. They fall 4-2 against the O's. And now this team with the Royals winning 3.5 games up on the Sox with 39 to go. We're going to get into the schedule talk as we continue to wind down here in 2024. I mean, we still have a month and a half left, so still plenty of time for the Sox to make up some ground. If Fangraph's playoff odds mean anything to you, and honestly, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, at least for me. They came into the day, this being the Sox, hovering, kind of close to 40% in terms of the Fangraph's playoff odds. They were at 39.9 with the Royals winning today, the Sox losing. They're down to 34.2. Again, whatever that means to you, but according to the calculations, the Sox have a 1-in-3 chance of making the playoffs, roughly. A little bit above that. But today hurt, offensively especially, going 1-for-14 with runners in scoring position. That really ended up killing the Sox. Joe Weil with you, Tom Crisafulli behind the glass. We still want to hear from you. 617-779-7937, the number to call in. You can also text us at 37937 as well. We have both calls. We have texts as well. But let's go back to the phones, and we'll start off with Mike in Connecticut. What's going on, Mike?
What's going on, Joe? You know, the problem is, the glaring problem is, he doesn't have a left-hander he can count on out of the bullpen. Bernardino was pretty good today, but, you know, he hasn't been good lately. But, you know, Joe, this is what I want to get your opinion on. And the bottom line is, with six teams in the playoffs, and all the money that the Red Sox have, there is no way that Cleveland, Kansas City, and Minnesota should be in the playoffs over the Red Sox. There's no reason for this show. And hopefully next year that things will change when they bring these prospects up, and hopefully they'll spend a little money.
Yeah, Mike, I agree with you on all accounts. There's no reason this team shouldn't make the playoffs, especially, you know, with those other teams. And if you want to grab Mike's line, 617-779-7937, the number to call in. Appreciate Mike, as always, for chiming in. Mike's good at the Sunday chime in. Sometimes during the week, but always the Sunday chime in. But anyway, I agree with him. There's no reason this team shouldn't make the playoffs and be behind teams like the Guardians, Twins, and Royals. And especially a team like the Royals that was so bad last year, and it's a completely different team this year. But I think with more intent, they went for it this year compared to the Sox. And I think that's what will hurt in the end if the Sox don't make the playoffs. Now, I think what Mike said is also true. They're going to be a better team next year. You have these incredible prospects in AAA. And if you've heard me at all on these shows, you know how high I am about the future of the Red Sox. This team has a very promising future coming up. But I think if they miss the playoffs this year, the one thing that'll hurt the most is still that lack of action in the offseason coming into the year. And I've talked about it a lot. Starting pitching-wise, that's the part that hurts the most. Offensively, this team is better than I expected. I thought there was a chance they would be a top 10 offense in baseball. They've been that. They have delivered on that. And it's incredible when you think about no Trevor Story pretty much since the road, not pretty much, since the beginning of the season road trip. And then you've been without Tristan Casas for almost 4 months. And yet this team is as good as it is offensively. The sky's the limit for this team in the future, but it still means that this team needs to add in free agency in the offseason. And hopefully they do that this upcoming offseason, now knowing that the core that is already at the major league level, and then the kids that are coming up, that this team is now poised to be a true contender. That has to happen, though, this upcoming offseason. And it didn't happen last offseason. And if they don't make the playoffs, I think in part that is why they haven't made the playoffs. We had low expectations for a reason, and they've exceeded those expectations. Be honest with yourself. You didn't expect us to be having the conversation of the Red Sox being in the playoffs here in mid-August. And it's a testament to the players on this team, the growth of this team, the coaching staffs of this team. Oh, if you want to get into the pitching conversation now, I'm willing to have that conversation, because the spinning, too many balls hung up in the zone on spin, like Bailey Horn's curveball today. That made it a 4-0 game, 2-run shot by Gunnar Henderson. But it needs more outside the organization too if they want to be a true contender. And it's going to hurt when they if they don't make the playoffs, that lack of spending in the offseason. But we'll see. Again, 3.5 out of that third wild card spot with 39 games left to go. And I still want to have that discussion about the schedules for both the Royals and the Red Sox. But let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Wally in Fall River. What's going on, Wally? Yeah, we lost Wally. Which is a bummer. I was excited for, I mean, I love Wally from Fall River first and foremost. But I was also excited for the inevitable wrestling tidbit he was going to share with me. Wally, call back 617-779-7937. I'll get to some of the texts here that are rolling in. The Sox didn't lose, they refused to win. Whatever that means. That's what one of the texters says. They didn't lose. They refused to win. I'm not sure what that means. They blew their chances to win. They didn't refuse. They blew them, though. 1-for-14 runners in scoring position. Another texter writes, and a split won't cut it, and it shows the Red Sox just aren't good enough. They can't win the series versus Baltimore or versus Houston. Did not do enough at the trade deadline. This shows you that the Red Sox front office was truly looking to 2025, not this year. I do think there's a lot of truth to that. They were hoping to make the playoffs this year. And listen, again, they can still do that. I'm going to explain the path for them to do that still. But I do think that this front office, while adding at the trade deadline, knows that next year is probably truly the year where this team is going to take that jump into true playoff contention, hopefully for the entire year, and who knows, maybe even win the division. Because I think they're ready to take that jump next year, especially. This core has shown how good it can be, but you need to add. We can't continue to roll out relief pitchers that probably shouldn't be a part of a major league bullpen, or at least a contending major league bullpen. And that's been an issue now this entire second half. We know the deal with how bad this bullpen's been in the second half. And by second half, I mean since the All-Star break. There's a lot of promise in there, obviously, of the veterans at the back end. I still think regardless of what happens, you look at this rotation, you say, Tanner Houck, he's a stud. He's for sure a starter. And we couldn't say that coming into the year. Cutter Crawford's a guy that you'd feel so good about if he was your 4 or 5 starter. He's a starting pitcher, and a good starting pitcher, especially when he keeps the ball in the ballpark, which has been an issue. It's been a massive issue. He's given up more home runs than anybody in baseball. But I think you still look at his overall numbers and say, okay, he should be a starting pitcher in the major leagues. but probably more of a back-end guy. Bayo's turning a corner, which is nice to see. He was great yesterday. You still need two more. I don't think you can count on Garrett Whitlock next year. You'll likely have Lucas Giolito come back. He's got a player option. I think he will utilize that because he didn't pitch this year. And he got hurt. So I think you still need at least two more outside the organization to add to this group. That's just my thoughts on it, though. 617-779-7937. Give us your thoughts on that. I'd love to hear from you. All right, we got Wally from Fall River back. Let's go back to him. Wally, what's going on?
Yeah, what's up, Joe? I mean, we all know how this, you know, this team has done a lot better than we expected. But can you imagine if we were playing better at home, say, 4 or 5 games over 500?
I agree with that, Wally.
Right. If these teams come into Fenway and slap us around like a redheaded stepchild. I mean, we had to play better at home this last month and a half. We can't squander opportunities to score runs. And as far as the bullpen, can you imagine if we would have got a decent arm at the bullpen and traded for Zach Eflin? I think we'd be a little bit ahead as far as a wild card, the third wild card. But, you know, he made these moves, and they went really good. It was once again going to Kmart shopping. But we're going to see what happens. Like I said, anything can happen in baseball. But I consider we're lucky we split in Baltimore. Let's see what happens in Houston. As far as the schedule goes, you got to pull. You can't be worrying about Kansas City losing every day. You have to win 8 or 9 in a row to stay in this wild card.
Yeah, I mean, Wally, you're right. This team will have to go on a run down the stretch, and appreciate your call as always. Great to hear from Wally. Wally, you got any wrestling stuff for me before we let you go?
Yeah, Dean Ambrose is coming back, supposedly, and Sasha Banks. But as far as Roman Reigns, he's been getting beat up every week by the new bloodline. So we'll see what happens.
You said Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné. Isn't she with AEW now?
Mercedes Moné, right. And John Moxley, he's supposed to be coming back, joining up with Roman Reigns.
All right. We'll keep an eye on it for it. Thanks, Wally.
Okay, we'll see you.
All right, Wally from Fall River checking in as always. I always get my my wrestling updates from Wally, but to his point about the pitching and not getting Zach Eflin. This is the part of the Zach Eflin conversation that has kind of hovered now in the peripheral of the Red Sox. And by the way, if you want to grab his line, 617-779-7937. It hits on something I think is a little bit of a greater conversation about the types of pitchers the Red Sox should be having in their rotation. As great as it would have been for Boston to trade for Zach Eflin and get him from Tampa Bay, you could have had him in free agency before the 2023 season. You made the same offer that you made to the Rays, and the Rays were closer to home for him, so he chose them. But if you blow him out of the water, even if it's just a couple more million, who knows? You probably take that deal if you're Zach Eflin. And instead of having to give up a prospect to go and get him, you just get him. You just get him. And that's what this team can do coming up in the offseason next year. But again, they're still in it this year. 3.5 back with 39 to go. A couple more texts rolling in. Future is bright. Devers, Casas, Duran, Meyer, Campbell, Anthony, Teal, Grissom, Rafaela, and Abreu. Yeah, I mean, the amount of young talent this team has is staggering. The outlook of this organization long-term is so bright. I know people worry about the left-handed bat conversation part of it. And not to say it's not worth having, because Marcelo Meyer, Roman Anthony, Kyle Teal, all left-handed hitters, and then you think about the guys already up that are pretty much established at this point, the Abreus of the world, but more star-like than even him, who's been great, Duran, Casas, Devers, even a Yoshida, who of course has got the big money tied to him. The future of this organization is so bright. It'd be awesome to get some playoff baseball this year. But if they don't, at least you know what's coming down the pike is going to be really, really good. It's still going to require some external parts and probably them dealing with from within to get a piece that they might want. I mean, we saw it from this organization when they got Chris Sale and they traded for him. You know, you remember where this team was at. They already had went out and got David Price, signed him probably to way more money than he was going to get out in the open market, but they got him. And then you deal with, and then you make that move to get Chris Sale. You deal some prospects, you get a guy like that, top of the end starter back, and you obviously win a championship not too long after that. Some big decisions are going to have to be made within this organization. And if you have any thoughts on that, we would love to hear from you. 617-779-7937. I mean, one texter rolling in, you know, writing in, Duran will be traded for pitching, mark it down. I wouldn't rule it out, as crazy as that sounds. Because if you're high on Roman Anthony, you're going to want to create a spot for him. On top of that, Sadon Rafaela plays an exceptional center field. And obviously, you can move Duran to left. And I know that the conversation itself is almost a crazy one to have. I mean, obviously, he makes that terrible comment to the fan who's heckling him, the homophobic slur. But, you know, what made that, I think, as big a story as it was, is that he is the face of your franchise in a lot of ways. Devers is obviously, too. You've signed him to the big amount of money. But Duran is in many ways what this organization wants to be, in the sense of a homegrown guy that's really gotten the best out of himself and has become one of the best players in baseball. And again, that's, you know, obviously what he said was awful to the fan, but just from an on-the-field standpoint, he plays the game the way you'd want somebody to play the game nowadays. Not 2 years ago, obviously, but nowadays. But who knows? Maybe he's the most expendable because an outside organization sees him as the highest value piece, which would make sense. He was an all-star in the all-star game MVP, but you get something back that you really want, like a top-of-the-line starter. It is going to be so fascinating to see how this all shakes out, because it's going to have to be figured out in some way. One more texture writing in. Don't be too hard on the Sox pitching. They throw better than Drake May. Man, we're giving up on the rookie already. Already two preseason games? If Javon Baker makes that catch, do you make that comment? That's what I have for that texter. That question for that texter. I promised to talk about the schedule, and I want to have that right now, because the Royals, the team that are ahead of the Sox by 3.5 games with 39 to go, they have the second toughest schedule down the stretch in terms of strength of schedule. Whereas, as we've talked about with the Sox, their schedule, you know, in the immediacy right now is tough, because they just played four against Baltimore and they took two out of four, and now they're going to play Houston, and then they come back home off day, they'll play against Arizona. But here's what the Royals have left on their slate: three against Philly, three against the Yankees, seven against Cleveland, who leads that division in the AL Central, three against Minnesota, four more against Houston, and then three against the Braves. So they have some tough teams coming up. Whereas the Sox, things get a lot easier for them after they take on the Diamondbacks. So, of course, three coming up here against Houston, off day Thursday, three at home against Arizona to close out next week. Then five, you're completing a suspended game against the Blue Jays, so you do that, play another one, and then you have three more after that. So, and ultimately five games against the Blue Jays, who are in last place in the division. Three at Detroit. The Mets are not quite as good as they used to be. The OMG Mets have kind of fallen off a little bit. Maybe Grimace needs to make another appearance at Citi Field. Three at Detroit, three at the Mets, after five against the Blue Jays, and then you get three more against the White Sox. And I know in years past, the Sox have lost some really tough games against bad teams. To their credit, this year they've been pretty good against bad teams. But then it gets tough, obviously, after that. Baltimore, Yankees, Rays, Twins, Blue Jays, Rays. And the Rays are one of those pesky teams that could end up winning a couple games against you. But to me, it pales in comparison to what the Royals have coming up, because of the 39 games left on the schedule. 16 right now are against playoff teams, and 23 are against non-playoff teams, where the Royals have a pretty tough slate. And I think the question that we all have to ask ourselves right now is, how many games do the Red Sox need to be within for you out there to still be believing that this team can make the playoffs? By the time they close out that series against the D-backs, is it five? Is it four? Or is where they're at right now, 3.5 with 39 to go, is that already too much for you? Because even though they're out now, again, the schedule flattens out for the Sox eventually, and the Royals' schedule gets tougher. And they're not as good, the Royals, against teams that are above 500 than you might think. And they're playing better on the road, which hurts the Red Sox because of the way that, you know, they've been at home and they've struggled on the road. Now with the way the Royals have played, they've won 10 out of 13 on the road, so now they're 31-30 away from Kauffman. But they're still 27-35 against teams above 500. So we'll see how it all shakes out. But as Wally said, they have to win. You just have to win. A couple more texts rolling in. We'll get to them right before we have to hit a break here. One text writing, if you're proposing trading Jarren Duran, you're nuts. I know how it sounds, and I'm not saying that they necessarily should do it, but there's a lot that's in play that I think people don't realize about this organization and about the future of it and who necessarily is going to go. So I'm not advocating for doing it, but this front office is going to have to soon make very tough decisions on their future. One more text rolling in. How good can Christian Campbell be? Last minor leaguer I saw hit this well out of nowhere was Mookie. And then I'll get to another text in one moment. Yeah, this kid Christian Campbell, by the way, if you're not following this story, he has been incredible with the Sea Dogs. My favorite part of this story is that the members of the Big Three, you know, Meyer, Teal, and Anthony, they're referring to him as Barry Bonds. Like, they joke about it, like, oh, this is Barry Bonds, because the numbers are absurd. And he's come onto the scene, like this texter said, in a Mookie Betts-type way, not to say that he's Mookie Betts, but just in the sense of he was sort of on the radar, and then he really jumps on it. And I know there's a lot of people out there saying, oh, maybe it should be the Big Four with this kid Campbell. Who knows? Brian Abraham was talking with Bradfo, I think it was yesterday, saying that you can't even rule him out to be in Worcester this year. He's been that good. And the numbers now, 362 average, 582 slugging percentage with 8 home runs in 56 games with Portland. It's unreal. Unreal. It'd be great to see him at Boston sometime soon. But who knows? Like, this is what I'm saying with Duran. The same thing could be said to Campbell. Maybe they decide he's a guy that you'd put in a package for a trade. As much as we'd love to see him with the Sox. I don't know. There's a lot of tough decisions for this organization to make coming up. If you missed it, Sox fell 4-2 against the Orioles. End up splitting the series in Baltimore. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll recap the game. We'll set you up for the series coming up against Houston. Back right after this on Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
All right, back here on Red Sox Review. Sox fall 4-2 against the Orioles in the series finale. Got a couple more minutes before we have to duck out. Joe Weil with you. Tom Chris Fuley behind the glass, doing great work. You're a WEEI. Let's get you the highlights from today's contest. And this was a scoreless one going into the bottom of the fifth inning. Sox squandered opportunities. Really, from the second to fifth inning on, they ended up combining to strand five base runners. And in the bottom of the fifth inning, Cutter Crawford, carrying a scoreless outing into that frame, ends up facing Adley Rutschman, who does this.
Back at the wall, can only watch it fly, and it is gone. On cue.
All right, so Gunnar Henderson takes out Cutter Crawford, and it's a 1-0 game at that point. And Cutter Crawford ends up leaving this game with runners on first and second and nobody out. A run comes in to score on a fielder's choice and an E6 to make it 2-0. Bailey Horn on the mound, and he ends up spinning one right in the zone for Gunnar Henderson.
Fifth inning as they host Chicago. 2-2 pitches cranked to deep right field. Abreu turns around and watches it fly. Home run Gunnar Henderson for the fourth time in the last 5 days.
And that makes it a 4-0 game. Bailey Horn just plopping a curveball into the zone that Henderson, with his power, ends up smacking out. So that's his 33rd home run of the season. You heard Tyler say it, fourth home run in 5 days, and it was a 4-0 lead for the Orioles. The Red Sox would finally get one back in the eighth inning. Bases loaded with two outs, and the rookie Sadon Rafaela delivered.
Here from Rafaela, the pitch is swung on and lined into left field. That's a base hit. Casas scores. Devers being waved home and then stops at third. That was totally wild. I don't know whether Rafi tripped coming around the bag or what. It was an awful throw from Couser. I think if Rafi keeps coming, he's going to score. It's an RBI knock for Rafaela. The Red Sox are on the board at 4-1.
And so they were able to finally get on the board. That was the lone hit with runners in scoring position in today's game. The Sox ended up going 1-for-14 with runners in scoring position. Romy Gonzalez would pop out to end that threat. The Sox would get their final tally, though, in the ninth inning. Rob Refsnyder, he's been doing it all season long. Left-handed pitcher, right-handed pitcher, doesn't matter. He can take him deep.
1-1. High drive down the left field line. Trouble if fair. It's way back there toward the pole and gone. It's off the foul pole. And Rob Refsnyder goes deep. And the Red Sox get one. It is 4-2 in the ninth.
So a solo shot there for Rob Refsnyder. Home run number 8 on the season. Came against a right-handed pitcher, too, and Sir Anthony Rodriguez. But that would be it, as Sir Anthony Rodriguez would end up retiring the next two batters via the strikeout. Tristan Casas, Rafael Devers, ball game over, and Baltimore takes it by a score of 4-2 over Boston. So the Red Sox have their work cut out for them here, coming up with a series against the Houston Astros, who are as hot as any team in Major League Baseball. They won again today over the White Sox by a score of 2-0. They've won 10 of their last 11, and they've already swept the Sox recently. They swept the series at Fenway Park. And now Tanner Houck will take the hill and will try to do what any ace hopes to do in a situation like this, and that's be the stopper. And he's already put together a remarkable season. We know going into next year who Tanner Houck is, the type of pitcher that he is, what he can bring to the table. He is a certified all-star, certified stud, but he will go into that matchup tomorrow against Yusei Kikuchi looking to make a statement that the Red Sox are still in the hunt, and they are. 3.5 out, 39 left to go, trailing the Kansas City Royals for that third wildcard spot. The question is, though, can they rack up enough W's down the stretch here to ultimately get them to the finish line, which they hope is not the finish line. They hope that at the end of the regular season, they're in the playoff picture, and then they can do some damage in the postseason. Because Alex Cora has said on record he believes this team can win a World Series. With him as your manager, some of this young talent, anything is possible, but you have to get there. And this team is in danger of not getting there. Great work by Tom Crisafulli. Awesome work by Tom. It's great to be with all you guys here for Red Sox Review. Again, the final, Baltimore 4, Boston 2. Red Sox kick off a 3-game set in Houston tomorrow. 8:10 first pitch, MassMutual pregame show starting at 7:10. I'm Joe Weil signing off on Red Sox Review. Thanks for joining us here on WEI.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
All right, back here on Red Sox Review. Sox fall 4-2 against the Orioles in the series finale. Got a couple more minutes before we have to duck out. Joe Weil with you. Tom Crisafulli behind the glass, doing great work. You're a WEEI. Let's get you the highlights from today's contest. And this was a scoreless one going into the bottom of the fifth inning. Sox squandered opportunities really from the second to fifth inning on. They ended up combining to strand 5 base runners. And in the bottom of the fifth inning, Cutter Crawford carrying a scoreless outing into that frame ends up facing Adley Rutschman, who does this.
Back at the wall, can only watch it fly, and it is gone. On cue.
All right, so Gunnar Henderson takes out Cutter Crawford, and it's a 1-0 game at that point. And Cutter Crawford ends up leaving this game with runners on first and second and nobody out. A run comes in to score on a fielder's choice in an E6 to make it 2-0. Bailey Horn on the mound, and he ends up spinning one right in the zone for Gunnar Henderson.
Fifth inning as they host Chicago. 2-2 pitches cranked to deep right field. Abreu turns around and watches it fly. Home run, Gunnar Henderson, for the fourth time in the last 5 days.
And that makes it a 4-0 game. Bailey Horn just plopping a curveball into the zone that Henderson, with his power, ends up smacking out. So that's his 33rd home run of the season. You heard Tyler say it, fourth home run in 5 days, and it was a 4-0 lead for the Orioles. The Red Sox would finally get one back in the eighth inning. Bases loaded with two outs, and the rookie Sadon Rafaela delivered.
Here from Rafaela, the pitch is swung on and lined into left field. That's a base hit. Casas scores. Devers being waved home and then stops at third. That was totally wild. I don't know whether Rafi tripped coming around the bag or what. It was an awful throw from Couser. I think if Rafi keeps coming, he's going to score. It's an RBI knock for Rafaela. The Red Sox are on the board at 4-1.
And so they were able to finally get on the board. That was the lone hit with runners in scoring position in today's game. The Sox ended up going 1-for-14 with runners in scoring position. Romy Gonzalez would pop out to end that threat. The Sox would get their final tally, though, in the ninth inning. Rob Refsnyder, he's been doing it all season long. Left-handed pitcher, right-handed pitcher, doesn't matter. He can take him deep.
1-1. High drive down the left field line. Trouble if fair. It's way back there toward the pole and gone. It's off the foul pole. And Rob Refsnyder goes deep. And the Red Sox get one. It is 4-2 in the ninth.
So a solo shot there for Rob Refsnyder. Home run number 8 on the season. Came against a right-handed pitcher too in Sir Anthony Rodriguez. But that would be it, as Sir Anthony Rodriguez would end up retiring the next two batters via the strikeout. Tristan Casas, Rafael Devers, ball game over, and Baltimore takes it by a score of 4-2 over Boston. So the Red Sox have their work cut out for them here, coming up with a series against the Houston Astros, who are as hot as any team in Major League Baseball. They won again today over the White Sox by a score of 2-0. They've won 10 of their last 11, and they've already swept the Sox recently. They swept the series at Fenway Park. And now Tanner Houck will take the hill and will try to do what any ace hopes to do in a situation like this, and that's be the stopper. And he's already put together a remarkable season. We know going into next year who Tanner Houck is, the type of pitcher that he is, what he can bring to the table. He is a certified all-star, certified stud, but he will go into that matchup tomorrow against Yusei Kikuchi looking to make a statement that the Red Sox are still in the hunt, and they are. 3.5 out, 39 left to go, trailing the Kansas City Royals for that third wildcard spot. The question is, though, can they rack up enough W's down the stretch here to ultimately get them to the finish line, which they hope is not the finish line. They hope that at the end of the regular season, they're in the playoff picture, and then they can do some damage in the postseason, because Alex Cora has said on record he believes this team can win a World Series. With him as your manager, some of this young talent, anything is possible, but you have to get there. And this team is in danger of not getting there. Great work by Tom Crisafulli. Awesome work by Tom. It's great to be with all you guys here for Red Sox Review. Again, the final, Baltimore 4, Boston 2. Red Sox kick off a 3-game set in Houston tomorrow. 8:10 first pitch, MassMutual pregame show starting at 7:10. I'm Joe Weil signing off on Red Sox Review. Thanks for joining us here on WEI.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.